Mike, for 3, verse number 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Our subject matter this evening is dealing with past regrets. How do we deal with past regrets? I believe the answer is here in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. It reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your patience towards us, Lord God, and we ask now as we so desire to grow spiritually, I pray that you would teach us from your holy word, the scriptures. Teach us, Lord, how to press forward for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So far this month, we've been emphasizing the fact that we, as the people of God, are in a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle against worldliness, the flesh, our sinful nature, and the devil. We've noted one of the greatest battlegrounds where the devil spends much of his time, it's within our minds. The world around us and the flesh within has an effect upon our minds as well. We don't doubt that. But the devil is an absolute expert with a capital E, implanting thoughts in our minds that will ultimately hinder us spiritually. We've also learned this month that we, as the people of God, need to take responsibility for what we think upon. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. You can control your thoughts, but you cannot control your emotions. We've also learnt what we should do with wrong thoughts that creep into our minds or are planted there by the evil one. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 to 5 teaches us that we must cast those thoughts and those imaginations down. This evening I'd like to address a major issue in the minds of many that is hindering their growth and their effectiveness for Jesus Christ. It's what we refer to as past regrets. Past regrets. Failures, disappointments, mistakes, missed opportunities, tragedies, hurts, aspirations, broken relationships, guilt, wrong decisions that have led to our current conditional circumstances. I wonder this evening, are you stuck in the past with past regrets? How can we let go of the past and move forward for the glory of God? By God's grace, we're going to try and answer that question this evening. So I believe there are many, many people of God, sincere people of God, that have capped their effectiveness for Jesus Christ because they are stuck in the past. They have regrets that they continually go back to, and that is hindering their effectiveness for Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to note first and foremost this evening, here in verse number 13, there are two issues that we need to face. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 13, "Brethren," he's referring to God's people, we as the people of God. And the Apostle Paul made this statement, "I count not myself to have apprehended." And under this first initial issue here of facing some foundational issues in dealing with our past regrets, we see that the Apostle Paul admits that he has not reached perfection. The Apostle Paul is simply saying in essence, I am still growing. I have not attained unto perfection. And we see within this statement that the Apostle Paul openly declares before the people of God, we see a spirit of humility, a humble man of God that has achieved much for the glory of God. And this man said, I have not attained. I haven't arrived. So we note a spirit of humility in the life of the great Apostle Paul. Now, within the context of being hindered, stifled because of past regrets, often the cause or one of the foundational principles that keeps an individual looking back at the past and focusing upon their past regrets is pride. Pride is at the heart of all sin. And often an individual that is stuck on past regrets, it's as if they're crying out for their rights, and there is not, at least I have experienced this, and this is my understanding of this passage of Scripture, that there is a measure of pride there. The Apostle Paul said, I have not apprehended as yet. I haven't arrived. There's a spirit of humility. And I believe, brethren, this evening, if we are to move on and let go of those past regrets, then must be a spirit of humility. Because often pride gets in the way and that causes us to look back and cry out for, well, my rights and this is how it should have been and it's not my fault and I did everything right, and the list goes on and on. And really all the above are just different ways of saying, I am proud, I didn't get my way. See? But also note then, verse number 13, that the Apostle Paul also said, but this one thing I do. So we see two foundational principles here in dealing with the issue of past regrets. Is that you and I need to make sure that we have a spirit of humility that is prepared to admit, well, I have not arrived as yet, and I really have no rights, and I just need to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the mindset of the great Apostle Paul. But also we see, by this next statement in verse number 13, this one thing I do, we see the Apostle Paul is focused. He's determined to focus on that main purpose in his life. He's determined to focus upon that main purpose in his life. And the second foundational principle that must be evident in your life and in my life if we are to move beyond our regrets is number one, humility. We must deal with that pride that has a measure of control in our hearts. And secondly, there needs to be a focus upon that one purpose that God has for us. We'll say more about that shortly. And I have found that many that are stuck on their past regrets are what I would call all over the planet. They're constantly distracted and they're just not focused. They're existing without any real direction. And it just seems like these individuals that are stuck in their past regrets. It's as if they're wanting to walk forward in a straight line, but they keep looking back. Now, you try walking forward while looking back. You will eventually go off track. See? Distracted. And I find that people, over my years in the ministry, people that are just hanging on, this is how it should have been, and this is how it should have been, and it was all because of this, it's all because of that, and I should have done that better, and they're just still living in the past. It's as if they're trying to move forward, but they keep looking back, and they're just distracted. They're just all over the place. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. The Apostle Paul determined to focus upon that main purpose for his life. So foundationally this evening, if we are to gain victory over our past regrets, there must be a spirit of humility, the opposite of pride, because it's often pride that brings you back to the past. While you're back in the past, you're claiming your rights and you're saying, well, this is how it should have been, and it's not my fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault, and it's just not fair. This goes on and on. Pride, 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 pride. But also we need to foundationally determine that we will set out to fulfill that purpose that God has for us, lest we be distracted. And we need to understand that focusing upon past regrets is very distracting. Distracting. It's as if you're trying to walk forward and with your head facing backwards. You'll eventually go off track. Now let's also note here in verse number 13, so foundationally, if we are to gain victory over our past regrets, there needs to be humility and there needs to be a determination to fulfill that main purpose for our life. As opposed to being tossed to and fro and just being all over the place. This is often what I find in people that are just living in the past and the past regrets. They're just all over the place. But note what the Apostle Paul said next there in verse number 13. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. This one decision that is needed in your life, in my life, if we are to deal with our past regrets, is to forget those things that are behind. So, initially, foundationally, there must be a spirit of humility. And there must be a determination to pursue that one purpose for your life and my life. But the second main principle I'd like to stress is, it also begins with the letter F, that is forget. Forgetting those things that are behind. Now the word forget here in verse number 13 means to let go. The word forgive means to let go. To forget and to forgive. To let go, or it literally means to untie out of our minds, to neglect, as opposed to give attention to. So the Apostle Paul said, I am choosing to forget those things, plural, things that are behind from the past life. Now what's he referring to here? Now if you back up in verses 4 to 7, I believe the Apostle Paul was referring to his position there in Philippians chapter 3 verses 4 to 7, the Bible reads, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he ought,
he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, and I believe he's referring partially to his position. Now, amongst the Jewish community, and before he was converted to Jesus Christ, he was a man of position, and he was a man of achievement, and he was willing to let that all go. He wasn't going back and saying, well, you know, back then I was the chief of the Pharisees, and back then I was this and I was that, and I'm no longer this and that. He wasn't going back to his former position. He let that go. See? As if he was missing out on being a Christian. He was prepared to let go of his position. But I want you to also note then, verse number 6, he makes reference to concerning zeal persecuting the church. The Apostle Paul was choosing to forget those things that are behind, and this encompassed his position. But also within this position, he was zealous to the point that he persecuted the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse number 13, the Bible reads concerning the Apostle Paul, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor. And injurious, that means he was a violent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So concerning the testimony of the great Apostle Paul, he confesses that he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, that is, of God's people, a violent man. But also turn, please, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Back in Acts chapter 7, from verses 54 to 60, the Bible gives us the account of the stoning of Stephen, a wonderful man of God that was willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us back in chapter 7, verse number 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. But also note there in chapter 8, verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. So the Apostle Paul, the Saul of old, was responsible for the death of Stephen. And he was responsible for the persecution and for the imprisonment of many of God's people. So in essence, the Apostle Paul was saved out of a life of anger and rage and a man that murdered people, innocent people. Now one of the Ten Commandments reads, thou shalt not kill. And the Bible teaches us the law of God is written upon the heart of mankind. And I believe without doubt every living being, every human being knows from within their own heart it is wrong to take the life of another. And if one takes the life of another, they will bear the consequences of that. The guilt. The responsibility of that. And the Apostle Paul reflects upon the fact that he was a violent man. He was a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. This man was responsible for not only the imprisonment of God's people, but also the injury of God's people and the killing of some of God's people. And one of those was Stephen, the man of God. And the Apostle Paul said there back in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Sin has consequences. The Apostle Paul was an angry, violent murderer. But he received mercy. But yet, within the depth of his own heart, I believe he had some regrets. And this must have weighed heavy on his mind. And the Bible teaches us forgetting those things which are behind. So I believe there is a twofold application here to his position, what he had before he came to Jesus Christ, but also his past sins and the guilt that came with those sins and the temptation to look back and to dwell there. And the Apostle Paul determined by the grace of God that he was going to let go of the past. He was going to let go of that lifestyle that he once lived. And my friend this evening, are you living in the present for the future, or are you still crying over spilt water? We like to use the term crying over spilt milk, but biblically it's spilt water is the more accurate principle. In fact, it's found there in 2 Samuel chapter 14. This is great. Makes good preaching. If I had more time, I would just preach on this verse. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 14. Second Samuel chapter 14, verse number 14, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. So note that little phrase there, water that is spilt on the ground cannot be regathered. Why cry over spilt water? And the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Let go of the past mistakes. They're done. They're behind. I need to go forward. And see, many of us are stuck in the past because we're just going back to the past, and it's as if we're trying to regather that spilt water on the ground, and that's absolutely impossible. Once you spill water, that's the end of that. You will not recollect that water. There is no way. Try it someday. And that's where many of God's people live. It's as if they're going back in their minds and they've got these regrets and they're trying to reassemble, regather that spilt water that is spilt, and that's the end of that. What do we do with it? Let it go and go forward. Forgetting those things that are behind. Oh, the nation of Israel constantly looked back to Egypt, did they not? There in Exodus chapter 16, verse number 3, one example of them just thinking back to all those wonderful crock-pot meals they had back in Egypt. You know, those flesh pots. Just looking back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And I'm thankful that Joseph of old did not look back. He settled the issue that his brothers betrayed him, and God was still in control, and God brought some good out of the betrayal and out of the time that he experienced in Egypt, and he looked upon his brothers with a clear conscience and said, you blokes meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See? He didn't dwell on the past. Some of you are stuck in the past. You can't regather spilt water. Let it go. Look forward, forgetting those things that are behind. For many of us, the key to this forgetting is simply forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves for mistakes that we've made that have caused us to inherit these past regrets. And even forgiving others, because some of us are just looking back and we're still pointing that finger. That rotten monster back there, this is what he did to me. This is what she did to me. See. Looking back. So forgetting involves forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves instead of punishing ourselves. And many of God's people are just constantly just punishing themselves. Because of the past, the mistakes they've done in the past. Oh yes, we've all made mistakes in the past. But beloved, we need to press forward. See? If we go back to Philippians chapter 3, let me just give you some further three principles on how to press forward. Okay? So foundationally, if we are to gain victory over past regrets, there must be a spirit of humility and there must be a determination to fulfill God's purpose for your life. That's foundational. Okay? Secondly, we need to forget. Put behind the past. See, people that do not put behind the past, they constantly go back to the past. Let me ask you, how often do you go back to the past? Your past disappointments. Your past hurts. Beloved, we need to look forward, forgetting those things that are behind. Now, how do we press forward? Now, note here in verse number 14, the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. How do we press forward? Forgetting those things that are behind, how do we press forward? Well, first and foremost, we need to fulfill God's will. I must fulfill God's will for my life. You must fulfill God's will for your life. That's how we forget those things that are behind and we press forward. We are determined to focus upon fulfilling God's will. What is God's will for your life? What is God calling you to do? And once you've worked this out, make that your chief end. We know the general will of God is to walk in obedience to the Word of God, to grow spiritually, to serve Him. But also God has a specific will for your life and for my life. So if we're to press forward and forgetting those things that are behind and press forward, we need to be assured that we are within the will of God. We know God's will for our life. You know God's will for your life and you are determined to fulfill it. Now verses 15 and 16 make reference to the fact that we must remain within the boundaries of God's word in fulfilling God's will. Note then verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So in essence, as we seek to fulfill God's will, we need to remain within the boundaries of God's word. So when you and I choose to press forward in the will of God, you won't have time to dwell on past regrets. See, the idle mind is the devil's playground. But if you consume your life with fulfilling God's will for your life, you won't have time to look back. See? And there are many of God's people that are stuck in the past because they're not doing what they ought to be doing in the present, for the future. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm going to press forward toward the mark, that calling that God has for me in Christ Jesus. But also, secondly, note here how to press forward. Note in verse number 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We must follow, secondly, we must follow godly examples. How do we press forward? Forgetting those things that are behind, those past regrets. Well, we need to work out what is the will of God for my life. Fulfill that. And in doing so, follow godly examples. Look for godly mentors. Look for people that can become spiritual role models for you. People that exemplify Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Note then Philippians 4, please, chapter 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We need to follow godly examples, because godly examples should inspire you, should motivate you to press forward as opposed to living in the past, regrets. Follow godly examples. Note then verse 18 and 19, please, of chapter 3. The Bible teaches us, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So verses 17 and 18, 18 and 19, warns us, gives a warning for you and I concerning those that we ought not to follow, those that are selfish and boastful in their sin, those that are worldly minded. These are considered the enemies of Christ. So in essence, beloved, if we are to move forward and move beyond our past regrets and our past mistakes and our past disappointments and our past hurts and our past broken relationships and all that past that is just dragging us down, we need to look forward. We need to fulfill the will of God for my life. You need to fulfill the will of God for your life. And in doing so, look for godly examples. Look for godly mentors that you can follow and be inspired by. And last but not least, note there in verses 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep our eyes upon Christ, the coming Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So how do we press forward? How do we forget those things that are behind? We press forward by fulfilling God's will. You and I fulfilling God's will, whatever that is for you, whatever that is for me. We can press forward by looking at godly mentors, godly examples, that will help you and I to see Christ's likeness and just be inspired by their testimony. But thirdly, we can move forward by focusing on the soon return of Jesus Christ. This should motivate us to live in the present for the future. Jesus Christ is coming again, and we are citizens of heaven. And beloved, we are pilgrims just passing through. Why are we holding on to past regrets when our citizenship is in glory? Why are we holding on to past regrets? Why are we giving attention to the disappointments of that past life? May God grant us the grace to look forward, to press forward, forgetting those things that are behind. How? By pressing forward. Pressing forward, fulfilling God's will, following godly examples, and focusing upon the soon return of Jesus Christ. Because when he comes again, justice will prevail. He'll take care of those individuals that have hurt you. Yes, he will. You looking back and growling in your mind, will amount to nothing. In fact, it'll hurt you more so. But when Jesus Christ comes again, in his return, justice will prevail. And those ones that have hurt you, those ones that have disappointed you, those mistakes that you've made, it'll be all under the blood. So in closing this evening, some men stand with their faces to the west, regretting the lost radiance of the setting sun. Others turn their gaze to the east, eager to catch the first streak of dawn. Surely the latter are the wiser. Our faces must look forward. We must see the path that we are about to tread instead of looking only on that path that has already been trodden, that path of regrets. May God grant us the grace to move forward for the glory of God. And I fear for many of God's people that their spiritual potential is capped because they're constantly looking back. Looking back at the past and the past mistakes and the past hurts and past disappointments and always constantly looking back. Let me encourage you to look forward, forgetting those things that are behind. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He took the lives of innocent people. And he had to determine, I need to forget those things that are behind. Otherwise, I'm just going to be consumed in my guilt, from my past life. May God help us to press forward for his glory. We must forget our past failures. It's foolish to dwell in idle regrets. For thus we neglect the duty of today. In lamenting the neglect of yesterday's duty, it is positively wrong to clog our future efforts by carrying the burdens of our past. God has forgiven our sin. We should determine to forget and press forward for the glory of God. Let's pray.